Treasury Salute, a program of the United States Treasury featuring Jimmy Carroll, Bill Adams, and the Treasury Orchestra under the direction of David Brookman. Buy bonds and more bonds. Let's all back the attack. Buy more than before.
How do you do? This is Bill Adams. Mr. John Hay, American diplomat, treaty maker, roving emissary, and our ambassador to England, had a lifetime of honored places, and much tribute has been paid him for his astute conduct in representing our nation. Yet perhaps of all positions in the government he held, none so affected him and imprinted upon his soul the greatness of his nation and its leadership than those years he spent as secretary to Abraham Lincoln during the dark times of war. Today we salute Mr. John Hay, the great pupil of a great teacher.
I come to town the other night. I heard a noise and saw the fight. The watchman was a-running round crying, "Old Dan Tucker's come to town. So get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. You're too late to come to supper." Old Daniel Tucker was a mighty man. He washed his face in a frying pan. He combed his hair with a wagon wheel and died with a toothache in his heel. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. You're too late to come to supper. So old Dan Tucker's back in town, swinging the ladies all around. First to the right, then to the left, then to the gal he loves the best. So get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. You're too late to come to supper. Now old Dan Tucker's mother-in-law was the ugliest thing I ever saw. Her eyes stuck out and her nose stuck in. Her upper lip hung over her chin. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. Get out the way, old Dan Tucker. You're too late to come to supper.
For four long years of war, two young men lived with Lincoln and his family in the White House, sharing every sorrow and triumph and moment of anxiety with him. John Nicolay and John Hay were their names, and to them the lean and hungry-looking president was known as the Tycoon. At first, John Hay was inclined to think of Lincoln much as he had thought of him when he first knew him at Springfield, Illinois, as a keen lawyer with a fund of jokes. But as the years progressed, he saw, long before anyone else, the supreme greatness of the Tycoon. That influence never left him, and often in later years, when he spoke of our nation in the courts of Europe, he would try to think what Lincoln would have said were he standing at his side. In those young days, he was a part of the family, as well as secretary to Lincoln. He was frequently escort to Mrs. Lincoln, and he romped on the floor with young Tad. He walked the silent streets with old Abe the night Willie died, and stood the long night watch at the bedside of the Emancipator while the bullet of John Wilkes Booth did its tragic work. It was to John that Stanton said when the last breath of Lincoln was drawn, "Now he belongs to the ages." Along the road that led from Lincoln's White House to the future, John Hay walked. As a minor diplomat, he went to France, where he met the dictator Napoleon III, and realized the wonder of the nation we had made over here. For Napoleon, the suspicious, plotting tyrant, had gained his power by robbing the people of their democracy. John returned to America once more and wrote with John Nicolay the history of Abraham Lincoln. The world was changing about him. America was assuming her role among the imperialist nations of the world, and John Hay became a part of that national psychology. He was a career man who had good possibilities. McKinley, upon becoming president, appointed him ambassador to England. All of this is a recital of the steps in that path from Lincoln's White House. But the man himself had a quality which cannot be lost in the brilliance of his own history. He was an extremely generous fellow, made many friends among the great and near great of the world. He had the added virtue of concealing his gestures of goodwill, which few men did in his time or ours.
Come where my love lies dreaming, dreaming the happy hours away. In visions bright redeeming the fleeting joys of day. Dreaming the happy hours, dreaming the happy hours away. Come where my love lies dreaming. Happy hours away. Come where my love lies dreaming, is sweetly dreaming, her beauty beaming. Come where my love lies dreaming, is sweetly dreaming, the happy hours away. Come with a lute, come with a lay, my own love is sweetly dreaming, her beauty beaming. Come where my love lies dreaming, is sweetly dreaming, the happy hours away.
While McKinley was still president, John Hay was given the post of Secretary of State, a position which he held on through the term of Theodore Roosevelt. During this time, he noted and made public his observation of certain German policies which have a strangely modern note. He noticed the widespread policy of the Kaiser's government to establish German colonies among citizens of other nations, using, he writes, their foreign citizenship for the benefit of the fatherland. In 1902, the German fleet lay off the coast of Venezuela, prepared to occupy to protect certain of their one-time citizens in case of an internal upheaval. John Hay advised Roosevelt of this situation, and at his suggestion, the formidable Teddy summoned the German ambassador. If you don't arbitrate and leave within 10 days, the United States fleet will sail. The German emperor agreed to arbitrate. John Hay was in these last days of his life faithful to the concept of American destiny. The nation was growing in power, and he had seen it through the windows of the White House when it looked dark and hopeless. A few months before he died, he sent a ring to President Theodore Roosevelt, accompanied by this letter. The hair in this ring is from the head of Abraham Lincoln. Dr. Taft cut it off the night of the assassination. Please wear it tomorrow for your inauguration. You are one of the few men who most thoroughly understand and appreciate Lincoln. Yours affectionately, John Hay.
loan is carefully planned to help the Treasury meet its commitments. If we do our part and buy more bonds than ever before, the Treasury will be able to do its part, and the Army and Navy will be able to do their jobs, too. And all of us can be sure that come what may, this nation will be victorious in the grim battles that are ahead. And meanwhile, because of those extra bonds you buy, you yourself are making sure of winning your battles. For when those bonds mature, they will provide you with the ready cash needed for new machinery and equipment and buildings and improvements which you are sure to be needing. So let's all get the habit of winning battles beforehand. Let's back the attack. Buy more than before in the Fifth War Loan. The United States Treasury thanks Jimmy Carroll and Bill Adams, who appeared on this especially transcribed program. The Treasury salute was written by Forrest Barnes and directed by Paul Lewis. The music was conducted by David Brookman. This is Vincent Connolly speaking.